Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Bo Bridges, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
And Roberts, with a reminder that Ray Richmond will join us at the top of the hour. Ray Richmond, author of an excellent new pictorial history that celebrates 100 remarkable moments in the life of Betty White. We hope you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, in case you missed it, Peter Scolari passed away a few weeks ago. Peter Scolari, the Emmy Award-winning actor known to television viewers as Michael Harris on Newhart, as well as Henry Desmond on Bosom Buddies, and Lena Dunham's father on the HBO series Girls. Peter Scolari passed away this past Friday, October 22nd, at the age of 66. In light of his passing, we will replay a segment of This Week in TV History that originally aired on November 25th, 2011, in which we look back at the premiere of Bosom Buddies on ABC and the on-screen chemistry between Peter Scolari and Tom Hanks.
Let's go to November 27th, 1980. Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari debuted.
Wow. A remake or reimagining, which to use the modern word, of Some Like It Hot with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, and it was an offbeat sitcom, and the premise was very simple. You had two guys living in New York. They couldn't find an apartment. Or in the opening, which they explained the backstory in the opening, they had an apartment that they got dirt cheap because the building was abandoned, and you see the wrecking ball. So they were on the street. The only place that they could find an apartment that was cheap enough for them was at the Susan B. Anthony Apartments, which was an apartment house for girls. Mm-hmm. So they had to make one little change. And, of course, you have the 70s little switcheroo, and they decide to dress up as women so they could live in that apartment.
You mentioned the TV Land Awards a little while ago.
They did a reunion of Bosom Buddies.
I believe last year. But one of the things I like about Tom Hanks is that there are certain actors that with certain roles, especially if they're of the mentality that television is sort of, you know, step two in an actor's career.
Yeah.
There's certain roles or certain television roles that they will distance themselves from. Hanks never did that with regard to Bosom Buddies.
He never did, and there were all these rumors that he was. When he got his first Oscar for Philadelphia, and then the next year getting it again for Forrest Gump, there was some rumor floating around town that he actually used his new wealth to buy Bosom Buddies and destroy it. There was some rumor that some guy was starting. And you know what? There are actors who would love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But there were some that he actually, because, you know, you weren't seeing it in syndication at that time, and there wasn't on home video.
Well,
as far
because
as we know.
Yeah, because there were not enough shows to syndicate.
Exactly. But the rumor was that he had bought the rights to the show and destroyed all the copies, which, you know, in some historical context, things like that have happened.
Yeah, but we have places called Snopes.com where you can debunk that.
You can debunk that. But somebody was starting that rumor that this happened, and that when he did interviews and all that, that, you know, he had a big stipulation that you are never to mention, you know, kind of like what Tina Louise has with Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
None of that was true. The Screen Actors Guild had done several events. They had, you know, prior to doing the SAG Awards, but they also had done some things on TV, and whenever they got Tom Hanks, I think he won one of the first SAG Awards. I think it was for either Philadelphia or Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know, he won that, and it was broadcast on TV. And I don't remember which one it was, but
Probably
Forrest Gump. He gets on the podium, and he is holding the statue in one hand, and he has his SAG card in his tuxedo breast pocket. And he pulls it out, and he said, "I want to thank the Guild for this. This is my Screen Actors Guild card, and I got it in 1980 for the show Bosom Buddies. buddies, and I've been a proud member ever since. So he, you know, he did bring that up. So, you know, when he is getting, you know, the highest award from your peers, yeah, from your guild, and he is mentioned, he didn't mention it at the Oscars, but he mentions it there, that, you know, this is where it all started. I think he knows exactly where he came from. I think he knows exactly what he owes, you know, the first person who gives him a break.
Every time I think of him, I think of Jimmy Stewart. He's like our generation's Jimmy Stewart.
He's an everyman.
He's a nice guy. Yeah. He is somebody who gives back. He has given opportunities. He has selected some wonderful projects. I think he and Steven Spielberg, individually and collectively, have done so much for us to remember the greatest generation. I mean, let's give some credit to Tom Brokaw as well. Mm-hmm. But producing several movies for HBO, doing projects together like Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I think that generation of World War II, who after the war came back, did their job, at war, came back, helped build the middle class, and many of them never talked. And many of them are gone now. One of the things that I treasure at Story Salon, we have two World War II veterans who are in their 90s who tell their stories. Most of them never do. But, you know, for these guys to, you know, Tom Hanks and these guys to tell the story of those people and tell them in a way that was not the way that the John Wayne movies told us. Mm-hmm. You know, it was telling in a very, you know, historically respectful context. And also the people who, you know, were part of our space program, you know. But
yeah, he did the miniseries From the Earth
and
the Moon.
From the Earth mm-hmm. to the Moon. Yeah. He was obviously, you know, Apollo 13, mm-hmm. directed by Ron Howard. Stuff like that. You know, it's like if there are people whose voices should be heard, I think he has not only to his critical success and financial success, but also, you know, he wanted to be the vessel to help put those voices out there.
Plus, I know that he has kept in touch with his cast members, and in some cases, you know, he has worked again. I mean, one of my favorite—he did a movie in '96 called That Thing You Do, which is the first thing he directed. It's not a great movie, but it's not a it's a good little movie.
It's charming.
It's a charming
little movie. It's a fun little film.
And one of my favorite moments in that film is when the Oneaters appear on the Wonders appear on the equivalent of the Ed Sullivan Show, and who does he cast to play Ed Sullivan? Peter Scolari. Hmm.
And yeah, Bosom Buddies, as improbable as the premise was, Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari were wonderful together. Supported by a really good ensemble.
No, we're talking a few weeks back about some of the problems with the new television shows have to do with characters that are not, you know, you wonder where the foundation is, because television is a medium based on character. It's based on, you know, creating the type of characters that you want to resonate. That, you know, people want to come back to and invest themselves week in and week out. And yes, you forget the, you know, you guys and drag sort of thing. It was mm-hmm. bosom buddies in the truest sense. The word is based on friendship, and you believed it.
And you know mm-hmm. The drag part got dropped after. I don't know if it was season two or season three, but eventually they realized, okay, we've exhausted this part. And we've done everything we could do with this storyline, and they eventually dropped the... There was a character who was the apartment manager, and I don't remember how they wrote her out, but they had one of the supporting characters take over the job, and there was an episode where there was the big embarrassing reveal, because Tom Hanks' character was in love with one of the girls. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be completely upfront and honest with her, and comedy of errors that led to that. But then after that, they were able to basically drop that premise, and the two characters bought into a commercial studio, so they were able to come up with a new backdrop for their comedy, and it was basically they wound up owning a commercial production studio where they could be silly on camera and justify some of the silliness.
And speaking of coming up with a new backdrop of a familiar premise, I understand that on the horizon in early 2012 on ABC, I guess this is not a completely surprise, a show called Work It. And the premise is two unemployed car salesmen realize that they are quote-unquote living in a woman's world. So they decide to find that in order to find work again in this economy, they have to become women. So basically, it is Bosom Buddies redone, some like it hot redone. We'll see whether they follow the same path, which is actually try to create characters out of this premise, or if they just do the cheap, you know, joke, setup, joke.
My money right now is on the latter. And since you brought that up, this is something that we, you know, if not for the end of this year, but for the next year. We have seen, Charlie's Angels redone, Hawaii Five-O redone. Some shows have taken off. Some shows have been, you know, not very successful. More often than not, they don't work when you try to recapture it. There was an attempt at Rockford. You know, The Fugitive we talked about earlier when we talked about Charlie's Angels. I would like our panel to figure out what shows could come back and do very well. Because
I've gone on record as saying Rockford could be done very
Rockford
well.
Could be done really well, and I know
it depends
you said
on
that.
It depends on casting. It depends on
but there
execution.
Are things that can be done. But it does seem like for whatever reason, if they try to do it, and what was Hawaii Five-O seems to be one of the rare exceptions.
Well, because Hawaii Five-O has been out. I mean, one advantage it has is that it was not widely syndicated for many, many years. And so it sort of dropped out of what you remember about Five-O is you remember the theme song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
One line.
Yeah, and Book 'em Down.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, so whereas with Rockford, because it has never lost, been off television, and because Jim Garner is such an icon, those are two strikes against it. So, you know, it will probably never succeed if it were done well again, although I think it could. But
you know, when
that's an excellent idea for an hour.
But when we see we are in a world of revamps, redos, retreads.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're already critical about TV shows that get turned into movies, and we could see the vice versa of that, and it keeps.
Okay, that's an excellent
idea. If the networks are hell-bent on doing, let's call them retreads, mm-hmm. right?
Reimaginings. That's a nicer word.
Mm-hmm. Reimaginings, okay? If we are, and just imagine when we get into fall next year, mm-hmm. let's place our bets now. How many reimaginings are we going to see?
Mr. Ed is in the works for the
Mr.
big screen.
Mr. Ed, I think the Munsters.
Munsters is in the works.
Has been on
again?
And off the table. Yep.
Munsters is in development for NBC.
The Wayans brothers had it for a while, and I guess they dropped it.
The guy who's doing the guy who was the showrunner on Pushing Daisies is doing the pilot. So I think
we're on the right track.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Adams Bewitched CBS is trying to doing a pilot on Bewitched. I think the Addams Family is also, and there was something.
If somebody
else
does the Munsters, somebody will do the Addams Family. And
Robert Downey Jr. is going to do Perry Mason on the big screen.
On the big screen,
the Variety reported that recently.
No, I had made a comment recently on Facebook, just because I was getting a little frustrated over that, and I was enjoying soap. I said, if the networks want to bring back an old show, let's bring back soap. And I'm thinking in terms of, you know, let's just jump ahead 30 years and pick up where we left off, as opposed to, you know, reimagining. Right. And I got a lot of positive feedback from that one offhanded comment that I made in a fit of frustration. I did find it interesting that it all came from women, though. I don't know whatever you want to read into it, but there was a lot of yeah, or amen, or absolutely, you know, one word, you know, comments. But that should be something. What shows could work? What shows would be a buy? Or, you know, in the case like an All in the Family, I would love to see that, but you know the networks would never do it.
If the only way they would do it is if they called it something else.
They called it something else.
And watered it down substantially.
Yeah, yeah. Childhoodtelevision.blogspot.com, also storysalon.com. Tony and Donna, we'll see you next time.
Next time.
Tony and Donna and I from a segment that originally aired in November 2011, in which we look back at the premiere of Bosom Buddies and the on-screen chemistry between Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari. Peter Scolari passed away this past Friday, October 22nd, at the age of 66.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This Week in TV History now has its own podcast. You can enjoy This Week in TV History with Tony Figueroa on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you find podcasts. Ray Richmond will join us in our second hour. Ray Richmond, author of a marvelous new book about 100 remarkable moments in the life of Betty White. All that more, we come back for hour number two of TV Confidential. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411. Or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.